SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world. Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 20th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell by 0.1% to 9,081. We'll be taking a closer look at that in a few moments. We'll also be taking a look at the trade situation with the US, because despite its new global tariff policy, the US is still importing more than it exports. The US Department of Commerce data shows its goods trade deficit widened to around $1.2 trillion in 2025. Some of those imports were of US companies rushing to get ahead of the new tariffs at the start of last year, but a lot were also computer chips from Taiwan, where the deficit there nearly doubled in the 12 months to December. Its deficit with Vietnam also rose as the US diverted trade away from China amid continuing tensions with Beijing. We'll speak about that more in a few moments, but a close look at the share market now. As I mentioned, the ASX 200 down 0.1% to 9,081 points. Of the major sectors, six of the 11 finished lower. The worst performing: information technology and consumer staples. Utilities did best, and that was because of QBE, shares in that company surging by 7% on the back of some profits which the market liked, a 21% lift in full year net profit. The market didn't like results from Guzman and Gomez, shares down by 14%. Ingham's Group, the chicken company, shares there tumbling 13.5%, but they did like Telix Pharmaceutical, shares rising by 14.5%. Elsewhere, oil stocks doing pretty well because that oil price rose to its highest level since August on those concerns of a conflict between the US and Iran. Woodside Energy up by 1.2%. Santos down a touch though. And as I mentioned earlier, those tech stocks losing ground today. WiseTech off by about 4%. Zero 3.7% weaker too. So for more on the day's market action, I spoke with Marcus Bogdan from Blackmore Capital. He's the Chief Investment Officer there. So Marcus, it appears the market is taking a bit of a breather today, but it's still up around 1.5% for the week. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment, and what's driving it?
Well, investment sentiment is highly divided into two areas. One is a high level of caution around what I would say growth stocks or the new economy or digitalization and AI. And what we've seen this week and in recent weeks, a lot of concern around the CapEx spend around AI and the potential disruption to software applications. On the other hand, we're seeing good investor sentiment towards harder assets, the older economy types of companies, particularly commodities and infrastructure. And so they're the two divisions that we're seeing in terms of investor sentiment.
You mentioned commodities there at the end. Brent crude is pretty interesting at the moment. It's surged lately. It's its highest price since August last year. To what extent is that a reflection of geopolitical issues that we're seeing at the moment? And what does it mean for investors?
Well, it's definitely a sign of caution around geopolitical issues, particularly what we're seeing in terms of the military buildup in the Middle East, the negotiations that are happening in Iran, and that's the principal driver of higher energy prices, particularly the oil sector. And oil is actually catching up to the other commodities, which have been driven by other issues in relation to the energy transition and AI and data. But you could really identify oil as being driven primarily by what we're seeing in terms of the tensions building up in the Middle East.
While we're talking about international issues, can we talk about global tariffs? Some interesting numbers coming out of the States overnight. US trade figures showing a growing US trade deficit despite tariffs, particularly on the goods side of things. What do you think this says about the way the world and the investment environment has adjusted to this policy? And perhaps is it more of a function of the US economy demanding or growing so well that it needs all these products from overseas?
It is quite significant, and it illustrates the fact that China has been particularly successful since the beginning of these tariff negotiations, of how they've been able to pivot their trade policy to other countries and other jurisdictions outside of the US. So you see softening in Chinese imports into China, but that's been strengthened by them finding new markets in other countries and other jurisdictions. And so their economic growth and their export model is working very, very effectively. On the other hand, the United States is still incredibly dependent on Chinese imports for a range of different goods. And it's going to take the US much longer because they really have to re-industrialize much of their manufacturing base to be able to generate those types of goods in their own jurisdiction, and that will take some time. And that's why you're seeing the difference there in the trade policy. China far more successful in the shorter term than the US.
All right, let's look at local issues, right? We're well and truly into reporting season. How would you sum up what we've seen so far, and have there been any key themes?
It's been an extraordinarily strong reporting season. And to put that into context, the last 3 years, you've actually seen a contraction of earnings for ASX 200 companies. That's been primarily driven by weaker commodity prices, but things have turned dramatically in the last 6 months. You've seen a surge in commodity prices, which has been very broad-based, and that is filtering down to commodity prices and commodity earnings. And so you've seen a significant upgrade in earnings for the resources sector, and that has driven a material uplift in overall earnings from around 3% growth, which was forecast at the last reporting season in August, to over 9% for the 12 months up to the June 2026. But for commodities, you are seeing around about a 20% uplift in earnings in this period. So it's really confined to commodities and to a less extent to the major banks, which have also had a slight upgrade in their earnings forecasts as well.
It's interesting you mentioned commodities there, because there's been a bit of a poor reaction to Rio Tinto's results, which came out after the markets closed yesterday. Today, the market really liked the likes of QBE, though. Which ones have you been following and why?
Certainly following both. And just to put it into context, I mean, Rio is virtually at a record high in terms of its share price, and it has been a huge beneficiary of the surge in commodity prices, iron ore staying well above $100, a surge in copper prices in particular. But when you look at and compare Rio to BHP, BHP's result was well liked because for the first time in its history, copper was the majority of its earnings over iron ore. Rio is still catching up in terms of copper. It's around about a third of the overall earnings, and it's still very much driven by an iron ore. So that's the difference between BHP and Rio, and why Rio has been slightly weaker today. On the financial side, QBE reported an excellent result. In fact, it's probably the strongest result it's recorded in over 20 years. The key financial ratios for insurance were all better in terms of combined ratio, the gross premium growth that they were seeing, elevated lift in return on equity, and the dividend was certainly higher as well. So that combination has led to a big uplift in QBE's share price today.
And finally, in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, going back to the original question around investment sentiment, for the first time in a number of years, definitely pivoting towards hard assets, infrastructure assets, resource types of economies, because they're the types of companies which are actually going to benefit from AI and the rollout of data centers and the energy transition. And so that's where the key sort of pivots are in terms of the portfolio today.
That's Mark Spogden there from Blackmore Capital, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoy it, click subscribe, and I'll see you next week.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.